In the slimy bottomlands of Washington, D.C., the prevailing southwest winds carry the fetid air of the capital offshore to poison the fish of the sea, dropping birds in their tracks, and causing plankton to pack their bags and move to Spain. The worst air rises from farther below than even the Capitol building itself. It rises from the Batcave of Count Richard Cheney, Vice President of the Known World. The Average Network takes you now to that same Batcave, where Count Cheney, his evil assistant Rumsfeld, the head of Henry Kissinger, and White House Chief of Staff Andy Card await the arrival of the president for his post-State of the Union debriefing. This is episode 41 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World.
But why did he have to go on about steroids? My head wouldn't be able to live in my hat box without regular steroid infusions.
It's those damned team owner friends of his, and they will be damned too. But he thought steroids would be a safe topic, Henry.
You know, Dr. Henry, if the teams don't have to keep paying their legal and medical bills, the owners will make more money, and they can make bigger contributions.
Money, it's always about money with all of you. Andrew, I've told you about the uses of power.
But Doctor, everything costs more than it used to when Machiavelli was alive.
That's what you think.
Henry, you talk as though money is evil.
Money is not evil, Richard. It's a very useful tool. You are evil, Richard, but you are also a useful tool.
Oh,
but thanks. You must understand, I am also only a useful tool. The triumph of American Republican politics transcends its tools.
I don't. I'm over 300 years old and have no intention of leaving soon. You're kept alive in a hat box. You can go on for years until we find you a new body. What pays for all that, Henry?
Money. But money acquired through the manipulation of power. And remember this, Richard. The money you use to purchase power is only good as long as you have enough that no one can outbid you.
A point.
When you deal with real power, money just finds you.
Dr. Henry, that's brilliant.
Andy, shut up.
Yes, sir.
Donald.
Yes, doctor.
Have you brought refreshments? Turn me so that I can see them.
Of course, doctor.
Your servo motor not working?
I was watching a tennis match and it began to stick.
It wasn't too bad until that little girl got her cotton candy in the works. Well, our Secret Service took care of her. Or they tried to. Those little
yes,
girls
Yes, Donald,
were mean.
Let's drop it. Andrew, who okayed the final draft of his speech?
The president, sir.
I meant before that.
I'm afraid he did it himself, Doctor. He took drafts by Stephen, Milton, Dizzy, Crouton, and Arnie, cut them into paragraphs and put them together.
You aren't telling me.
Except for the steroid part.
He couldn't have written that himself. The sentences were in order. George doesn't have the patience to do that. I'll go check the parasite.
Andrew, Dick, we are in serious hot water because of this speech.
Henry, the people in my wing of the party haven't your, shall we say, perspective. We needed to throw them some bones, didn't we?
Not like this. George is starting to sound like a born-again Mussolini.
Oh, good. Born-again Mussolini. Excellent, Henry. Well, I certainly wouldn't have okayed the thing.
Carl didn't think it would be that bad, Doctor.
That reminds me, where is Carl Rove?
He heard that you wanted to see him. He's hiding.
Where? Texas?
No, in his office.
Masters? Masters! He and Ashcroft. They're here.
Hey, Dick. Hey, Henry. Oh, hi, Andy. Hey, that's good, huh?
George, my blood turned to rubber the brush just listening to you.
Have some refreshments.
We have generic Vienna sausage. These things, I think they're chips. And real Potomac River water filtered through the walls of the Batcave and put in these fancy squeeze bottles.
George.
These are
well, not right now, Don. What'd you think of my speech, Henry?
But I think
you are fortunate I am not a violent head.
Huh?
I noted 16 outright lies.
17, the K report.
17, 34 disingenuous comments, 4 outright attacks on Democrats, 3 pieces of utter drivel, and 6 half-truths.
Yeah, it was pretty good, huh? It wasn't pretty good. It was a potential disaster, George. If I hadn't been in a digestive torpor, I'd have ripped your head off.
I don't think that would have been a good idea, Richard. Nevertheless, George, you and Rove went out of your league.
Why didn't say nothing wrong? We's better off without Saddam. The only people really better off without him are Ahmed Chalabi, Dr. Pachechi, and Saddam, of course. He's finally free of those head lice. They were enormous. And pretty tasty, too. Down Rumsfeld. Well, so what? It weren't all exactly true. It was a good speech.
It wasn't a good speech. You painted a giant target on your back. You've given the Democrats enough ammunition for 2 presidents. Your education initiative only teaches children how to take tests. Your Medicare reform was driven by greed. Your so-called Healthy Forests plan will turn America's mountains into deserts. K found no WMDs, just like Unscum. The so-called programs were written on napkins and pocket notebooks. The weapons were degraded from age. Afghanistan will be a Taliban country again in a year. You attacked John Edwards. Don't you realize that he can nice you to death? It was the worst spin job I've ever heard. Why didn't you use the speech we provided?
That speech didn't have no fire to it. It was all reasonable. Yeah, I'm tired of being reasonable. We've noticed.
If you had waited until after November, it would have been fine. You could say anything then. Delay and frist would have stacked the Congress for us. Everything would have been perfect. We gave you a speech that sounded wise.
And you sounded like a bombastic egomaniac and mass murderer. Huh, is that all you can say? Well, I thought you liked mass murderers, Dick. I do, dear boy. Some of my best friends are mass murderers. Oh, well, it's rather gone out of fashion now that everybody's doing it. That's not the point, George.
The point is that you may have doomed your chances for re-election.
Oh, come on.
You have no idea how tricky this is going to be.
Wallace got Rehnquist in the Super Court. Rehnquist in the Supreme Court can only help us if the election is a close one, George.
There's only so much we can do against hard numbers, and we've no guarantee there will be another Catherine Harris for you.
How about we wait till them Democrat things pick 'em shows a candidate, we trump up some charges, and hang 'em, by gobs?
Well, it has a certain appeal.
Course it do.
I'm afraid even Justice Rehnquist would have to pass on that one, John.
Scalia wouldn't.
True enough. Doctor, maybe if we told the press it was all a dream and the real speech will be next week.
You were George's choice for COS, Andy, not mine.
Okay, so I'm my idiot again. What we gonna do?
I have O'Reilly, Matthews, Brokaw, Novak, Dector, Podhoretz, and Blanquita Cullum working on damage control. But early reports aren't encouraging. In the morning, Andy will give you 2 new speeches explaining your state speech. You will not alter one word.
And Ashcroft? I knew you was going to call on me. I ain't to say nothing. Ain't that right?
For how long?
A year?
We were thinking more along the 1 week line, if you promise to be careful.
I'm always careful. I ain't like George, excepting for cartoons, pie, and Jesus.
Yes.
And George, no more talk about spaceships.
Oh, doctor.
It didn't work. You can talk about them off the record. No more talk about destroying the teachers' unions until after the election, either.
We know we'll get flack on it, but we can't completely alienate the teachers' unions until we're ready to strike them down.
Now, Rumsfeld.
Oh, well, okay. You sure this'll get me re-elected?
No, but it's rapidly becoming the only chance you have. You lost the black vote, the Jewish vote, much of the senior vote.
The Latin vote will be hard, not to mention labor.
Plus, you'll lose almost all the gay, lesbian, bi, and trans vote. Put those blocks together with the Democrats and you've created a formidable obstacle for yourself.
Man, I must be pretty tough. Oh, you are, George. You're going into the season with big business, white supremacists, Pat Robertson, the toxic waste haulers, and the Teenage Rocket Science Club of Mineola.
Well, that's pretty good, ain't it?
George, that's less than a million people.
Wow, mind being the undermug?
Underdog, Mr. President. It gives you Sharpton-type numbers. We might have to arrange another quick war for you. Those things are always risky.
Let's go after Castro. He's old.
We tried. It only showed a poll bump in Miami and Houston.
Why don't we just invent a country like in that movie?
You must never mention Wag the Dog again, Andy.
We're trying to get the company to withdraw it for a few years. The only people who saw it were liberals. George, we're going to save you, but it won't be easy.
And George, if we're removed from office, there are rumors of investigations.
None of us would do well in a serious investigation.
Wow, you mean somebody'd find out about...
Oh, dear. That would be embarrassing.
Yes, everything.
There would be a wooden stake through Dick's heart.
They'd have to catch me
prison
first.
For you, and back to that laboratory cabinet for me. It's not an acceptable option, George.
So from here on, I gotta play smart, huh?
Not
please,
that.
No!
Don't be ridiculous. We need you should play as dumb as you possibly can.
You sure you want him that dumb?
Yes.
Well, I'll try. Remember, well, I ain't really dumb.
I know, actually.
Actually, yes, George.
Me know.
The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World, Episode 41, was written and produced by Uncle Bob Young and the Average Network. All celebrities were impersonated by the Blenheim Springs Girls Glee Club and Celebrity Impersonating Marching Band. This is Pablo T. Flies wishing I was here and asking you to stay tuned.